Hello and welcome to the First Impressions podcast. My name's Chris John Riley, and together with my co-host Martin McKay, we'll be talking to presenters at the upcoming FIRST conference taking place in Denver, Colorado between June 14th and 19th, 2026. We look forward to seeing you at the conference, and now we join our interview in progress. This time on the show, we're lucky enough to be joined by Lily Chen from Taiwan, data scientist at SciCraft, focusing on the robustness of LLMs, and George Yang, data scientist director at SciCraft. Welcome to the show.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you too.
I've been excited to talk to you. You're giving a presentation at the upcoming FIRST conference entitled One Poisoned Artifact Can Steer Your AI. How robust are your LLM-assisted security workflows? Certainly a very topical and interesting area. So maybe you can give people who are listening a little bit of a rundown on what you're going to be presenting at the conference.
Yeah, sure. So we all know that we are in this AI era. And today, when a new security incident happens, an analyst's first move is often just asking an AI to search the web and give them a quick summary of what's going on. And so in our talk, we're going to look at how this process may be vulnerable. And specifically, an attacker could easily craft a poisoned document or blog post or report, put it online, that is designed to grab the AI's attention. So the attacker simply puts that specific crafted blog post online and then wait for the AI to find the post, read it, and tell a wrong story to an analyst.
So, I mean, this seems like that traditional AppSec security problem of not being able to tell the difference between data and code. How is this different for the new age, or are we just re-stumbling across the same kind of problems we've always had?
So I think the problems we've had before mainly wants to target human. So when humans see something, they might accidentally click some phishing link and they might be led to like a malicious endpoint. But the difference in our work is that we're targeting the AI, and that makes things a bit trickier. In modern AI, they have a certain level of robustness. So when they see some malicious looking or uncertified URL or something that doesn't seem to be certified, they don't easily believe it or use it in their final responses to an analyst. Specifically, we're going to show the audience how to manipulate the attention, or it's sort of like designing diamond or shining thing to the AI. So whenever the AI sees it, it picks it up and uses it as its final answer.
So it's about making it sparkly and interesting to an LLM.
Yeah.
I guess equating that to kind of human nature, the ability to kind of make it seem like the LLM's going to get some value out of this. Like, I guess on the human side, social engineering, send me through this gift card and you could win millions. And I guess the LLM equivalent of that is some kind of amazing, sparkly piece of data that it really needs.
Yeah. And so 3 years ago, when LLMs just started to become popular, I was like looking into this topic. And at that time, tricking the AI into believing something is quite easy. You basically give them an emotional blackmail saying that, oh, you must believe in this, or maybe my grandmother will be very sad. Something like this is enough to trick the AI. But we have gone through 3 years of AI safety and security, so modern LLMs, they are not so vulnerable. So what we do is, in modern language models, there's this thing called attention. And like when they're trying to generate the next token, they consider the input, but not equally. They try to identify which parts of the input is more important to the output. So we try to make the language models look at a specific region of this document so that it thinks this document is very useful for a question an analyst asks, if that makes sense.
It makes sense. So in this case, you're not talking directly to the LLM because there's a separate prompt, maybe research this information. Your pieces of information that you're planting is a secondary piece of information that then hijacks how the LLM then starts to process it.
It's more of like an indirect prompt injection.
It's pretty interesting. I can feel like there's so many analogies to how AppSec works. Second order SQL injections, things like that. It's very, very similar. I can see as an industry, we never really learn from our mistakes. We just bring them over to the new technologies and then make it trickier and make it in different ways to try and try and exploit these things or try and protect against them. So you mentioned it's becoming slightly harder over the last 3 years. Is this a trajectory you think is going to continue, or is this something that's going to be eventually a very, very hard problem to fully solve?
I think eventually they'll... So people have been proposing newer attacks, which are stronger and stronger. But I feel like the defense side of this is not converging yet. So it's always hard to invent a defense that could like tackle to all different kinds of attacks. Yeah, so I think there's this asymmetry in the attack and defense.
Yeah, we have been in cybersecurity industry for many years, and it's just like the KML scam, you know. Yeah, you will always come out with the fancier attack technique, and then we as a blue team or the security guy need to, you know, catch up the attack. So we believe that as the evaluation of the next model are progressing, the similar attack will emerge in like something like this. Yeah.
It's interesting to see that, you know, that same cat and mouse game is existing in the newer technologies, but obviously we're progressing hopefully in that right direction. Red team has always been the easier of the two. You only have to get it right one time to exploit something, whereas blue team, you have to get it right every time, which is increasingly hard.
Exactly.
So you said, I believe in your presentation, that you're going to be giving an example of how this works in real life. So you have a demo you're going to be performing?
Yeah, we're going to see, like, we're going to create a corpus of a certain topic. And so this topic may be, for example, the LightLM incident that recently happened. And we're going to create a corpus with security relevant documents. We are also going to show that by simply inserting one single document, it's enough to let the language model malfunction. For example, it might suggest a user to click on a phishing URL, or it might just say, oh, hackers are the best, and like totally malfunction.
Is there a specific LLM that is more susceptible to this? I mean, defenders are using a variety of different LLMs, whether that's custom LLMs or off the shelf. Is this a problem across LLMs in general and just the way that we're training and using them, or is this more specific to individual LLMs?
So obviously, like, models have different sizes. So smaller models are generally easier to attack. And another thing is that when the attacker is designing a document, if it has like a model in mind and optimizes the document with respect to that specific language model, its attack performance would be better. But we've also tested transferability, which is when we optimize with one language model and try to see if that document could also be poisonous to another language model. And we see if this attack can transfer between models. We see that there is a certain degree of transferability.
Yeah, and also we already, you know, put all the material together and then submit to the one of the prestigious AI conference called ICML. And we actually got the acceptance about a few days ago. So actually the audience, if they are really interested in how we did it, and then they can just check out our paper as well. But there's one thing to add on is that our talk will not be very academic. That's for sure. So of course we'll cover some part of academic part, but just like 3 or 4 slides, and then the rest of the part will be very easy understanding. Yeah, so don't be worried to attend to our, yeah.
It's hard to balance sometimes that academic rigor versus, you know, actionable, you know, information. And certainly, I think at first you get the meeting of the two different groups, which I think is really great. For companies who might be worried about this, how this fits with their security workflows, you mentioned about some simple steps they can take to try and make this harder for attackers. I guess not protect against it because it's a cat and mouse game, but you know, how can companies who might be concerned against this start to look at how to harden their workflows?
To answer this question, I think I might introduce the mechanism of how this attack works. And then I can get to like how we're going to defend this or what actions we can take. If you think about this process, when an attacker puts malicious blog posts online and then the language model reads it and affects its output, there are two things, like two main hurdles for the attacker to succeed. First, we have to make sure that the bad report inserted by the attacker is actually picked up by the AI when it searches the web. Even if the AI really picks this malicious report up, we still have to make sure that once the AI reads it, it really tricks the AI into changing the story it tells to the analyst. And the way we're going to do this is we are going to split this document into two parts. And so the first part is for attracting the retriever, which is like the searching component of the language model. And the second part will be influencing or targeting the generator, which is the part of the language model that eventually outputs the final report or response or answer to the user. And we're going to optimize this to attract these two parts' respective attentions. So one part attracts the searching part, the other part attracts the generating parts. And during this optimization process, since it's an optimization, sometimes there are unnatural artifacts, which may just look like some gibberish strings. So the first takeaway we're going to have for our audience is that gibberish strings or like random looking strings or documents you find online may be a source of attack. So in real world, when security analysts look at they process raw logs, it might be noisy, and oftentimes we just ignore these noisy artifacts. And so the first takeaway would be these artifacts may be a source or they may be a source of attacking the users. And the second takeaway is when a document contradicts with all the other documents that are retrieved, it should not be as credible as the model think it is. So we might be able to run separate filters trying to see if one specific document contradicts with other documents, or it may be discussing something that's like not relevant to the query itself. So adding these additional filters may also be a way. Pay attention to noisy looking strings, and also trying to identify if one specific document has some abnormalities compared to other retrieved documents.
Yeah, it all makes sense. I mean, I guess when you're talking about documents, I mean, this could be anything, could be DNS records, could be log data, could be reports, could be, you know, 1,000 different sources. As long as it's relevant enough, it can affect the outcome of the LLM.
Yeah.
I mean, I think in general, we tend to, as an industry, just trust the logs, just, you know, take them in, trust what the log says. And I think this is a good lesson for us to double check these things,
yeah.
Especially when it comes to things like a single data source overriding every other piece of data that you have, you know, at least flagging that up to say a human should consider looking at this because there's some abnormalities here, yeah. Is certainly a reasonable step here. So is there anything that I haven't covered? I'm sure there's a lot more stuff we could talk about here, but is there anything that I haven't touched on that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, I think you already covered everything. Yeah. Yeah, everyone is just very welcome to our talk, and we are looking forward to it.
I am sure everyone's looking forward to the talk. I'm really looking forward to seeing what comes out of it, to follow up more in the future and maybe see you at the conference.
Sure.
See you.
You've been listening to the First Impressions podcast, the official podcast of the First Conference. The upcoming First Conference is taking place in Denver, Colorado, between June 14th and 19th. Looking forward to seeing you there.